We started in the month of October with a subject on the underworld. And I don't think we could ever address a more vital and important subject than this subject in this hour that we are living in right now. Now, last week I talked about the prince of darkness, the prince of the power of the air. This message today, I have entitled it, Exposing the Deeds of Darkness. Now, we learned this last week. The Word of God tells us that at the fall of Lucifer, who then became Satan and the devil, that there were angels who rebelled with him. And we read in the book of Revelation in symbolic language that Satan was able to draw a third of the angels with him in his plan of rebellion. That's in Revelation chapter 12. Lucifer made an offer to elevate those who would choose to follow him in order that they might rule with him over thrones and dominions and principalities. He even tried to make a deal with Jesus, did he not? Offered him power and authority. But Jesus was the one who has the authority. But these fallen angels that followed Satan, they became demons who would form a structured system of darkness that would be resistant to the will and the purpose of Almighty God. Now, these demonic entities are at work to defeat the will of God at any time in your life. So know that, my friend. They are at work at any time to get you defeated, to usurp their power and their authority over you. They want to defeat the will of God. Here's an intriguing statement in Revelation chapter 12. He says, war broke out in heaven, and Michael, the archangel, and his angels fought with the dragon, that's the devil, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. That's good news. Nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. My friend, the world has become Satan's base of operations. And listen to this. The end times will be the most intense spiritual warfare that we will ever see in history. And it is going to unfold. And it is even unfolding right now, because the world has become Satan's base of operations. Now remember last week, we read the verse in Ephesians 2 that he is the prince of the power of the air. So I want to visit that verse again with you, but I want to also visit this one first, because I want to expound on this point that demonic entities are operating in the earth's atmosphere. Demonic entities are operating in the atmosphere of this earth. So I want you to notice this experience that the Apostle Paul relates in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He has this experience with God. And notice what he says. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heavens. Now, I'm not reading this to focus on this experience that Paul had, because we'd be here a good while kind of talking about that. But I am here to zero in on what he says at the end, that such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Now, let's reference that with Ephesians 2:2. I visited this verse last week. He says, in which at one time you walked habitually. He's addressing believers. You walked habitually. You were following the course and the fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Following, notice who we were following. He says, following the prince of the power of the air. He says, you were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly, not sometimes, constantly works in the sons of disobedience, meaning the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, those who go against the purpose of God. So Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Now, this refers to the spirit realm where Satan roams about, has a ruler who possesses power to manifest evil in the world. And how does he do that? By influencing people and commanding demons. Satan influences people. And he commands demons. And he does it as the prince of the power of the air. He is working in this realm of the spirit, or this spirit realm. So in Paul's experience that we just read, he says he was caught up to the third heaven. So if there's a third heaven, then that means there is a first heaven and a second heaven. So this third heaven, let's establish what that is. This third heaven is where the throne of God is. You can only get there. You can't get there by space travel. Come on, somebody. Amen. You can't get on an airplane and go there. You can't get on a rocket and go there. You can only go there by two ways, by death or by the rapture. That's it. Because it is the third heaven. It is the place where the throne of God is. It's where Jesus is right now. It's the place that Jesus referred to in John 14 as my Father's house. And Jesus said he's getting it ready for the redeemed. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So all born again believers will one day be received into this realm called the third heaven. I can't wait. Hallelujah. The third heaven. It's where God is. It's where his presence is. It's where his throne is. It's where Jesus is building a house. I'm not worried about building a house here. I'm ready for my house there. Hallelujah. Thank you. There might not be time to build a house here. Hallelujah. I want to get ready for my house there. The third heaven. All right, but what is the second heaven? So the second heaven is the realm of the celestial heaven. Or we could say the heavenly realm. This heaven is where the sun, the moon, and the stars have been set in place by God. This is what David referred to when he said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Hallelujah. And he said, the skies show forth his power and his wisdom. If you ever go out, you can't do it in the city. You got to go out into the country. But on a clear night, you can look up, and when you're away from all the lights around the cities, you can look up into the sky, the night sky, and just see all of the incredible stars just all over. I mean, it's an amazing thing. See, that's the second heaven. But the scripture says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So what is the air that he is prince over? Now, we just read in Revelation 12 that there was a war in heaven and Satan was cast out, right? So where is he? Where is he right now? And what is he doing? He's the prince of the power of the air. So what is the air that he is the prince over? Are you ready for this? It is the atmosphere around this earth. It is the realm of the first heaven. It is the air we breathe. It is the atmosphere of the first heaven. But it is permeated by a personal evil power called the power of the air. And so John declares that the whole world is under the influence of this evil power. He says it right here. 1 John 5:19. And we know positively that we are of God. But the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. So there it is. There are powers of spiritualities that are at work today. The Word of God says that evil permeates the realm of the first heaven. Satan has the freedom to work where the human will is resistant to God and where people make choices to disobey God. This is why Jesus called him the ruler of this world. Now, isn't that interesting that he is in this atmosphere, the air we breathe? Do you realize that there are powers of spirituality today who lead their followers to practice deep breathing? Now, I'm not talking about when you go to the doctor and he puts the scope on your heart and says, take a deep breath. I'm talking about spiritualities that and they do that. You better be careful what you're breathing in. I'm giving you some food for thought. Because if he is the prince of the power of the air, and if they want you to take deep breaths and to open your mind and your soul, come on, somebody. Y'all know about this stuff. Many of you know about this stuff. They want you to breathe in. They want you to get mind control. Listen, the Bible says he is the prince of the power of the air. The Word of God says that evil permeates the realm of the first heaven. And he operates where the will, the human will, is resistant to God. Jesus said in John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Satan, my friend, rules in the hearts and lives of people who do not know God. And they are bound by sin. And the Bible says they are children of disobedience. So Satan has a ruler. He possesses power to manifest evil in the world by influencing people and commanding demons. Wednesday night, I was getting ready to come to church. And I was getting dressed for church, and television was on in the back. It was on the news station, and then the news ended, and a program came on called Inside Edition. And it's kind of a different kind of news station. And I'm sure many of you are probably familiar with it. So they showing the story of this couple. I forgot what state they were in. They were sitting on a bench on a street, a well-traveled street. And they had gone to a wedding celebration. It's 4 a.m. in the morning. They're sitting there. This guy walks by them, and he stops down on the corner. They get up, and they start walking. This guy is kicking trash cans. He's doing, you know, he's just exhibiting very uncontrollable behavior. And all of a sudden, he looks at this guy and says, "Who are you looking at?" Then he runs after him and kills him. Now think about that. They were minding their own business, but there is a power. Satan is ruling in the hearts and lives of people who do not know God. And he influences people and he commands demons. And Satan attacks us in the area of our own sin nature and he preys upon it. He attacks our minds, listen to me, he attacks our minds to conjure up evil thoughts and ideas. These demons that he commands, they work in the area of our thoughts. Now, there's no question this man was demon-possessed. what Hamas has done this past weekend. Satan commanded their thoughts, influenced them by demonic powers, commanding demonic spirits. Jesus summed it up in Mark 7. He said, "For from within, out of the hearts of men, come base and wicked thoughts, sexual immorality, stealing, murder, adultery, coveting, a greedy desire to have more wealth, dangerous and destructive wickedness, deceit, unrestrained, indecent conduct, an evil eye, envy, slander, evil speaking, malicious misrepresentation, abusiveness, pride that is the sin of an uplifted heart against God and man, foolishness, folly, lack of sense, recklessness, and thoughtlessness." My friends, these are the areas where demons work. They seize the heart to influence people to act on these evil influences. Let me illustrate it biblically. John 13:2. Jesus will very soon be going to the cross to die for all of our sins. And in John 13:2, it says, "So it was during supper, Satan having already put the..." Do you see it? "Satan having already put the thought of betraying Jesus in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son." He put the thought. He's the prince of the power of the air, the atmosphere. Here's another example, Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. They sell a piece of land, and the deal that was made that they were going to bring all of the resources and they were going to distribute it for the work of the ministry and to meet needs and et cetera, et cetera. But the Bible says that when they sold the property, they took a cut. They took a portion and then lied about it because they said they were bringing all of it. But notice what we read here in this story. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you should lie to and attempt to deceive the Holy Spirit and should, in violation of your promise, withdraw secretly and appropriate to your own use part of the price of the sale of the land?" My friend, to listen to Satan will make you act like Satan. And that's exactly what happened here. Then notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, "I fear lest somehow has the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness," simply meaning deceitful methods, "so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." My friends, there's no doubt about it. Satan influences the mind and the heart, all for the purpose of separating you from God, all for the purpose of destroying your faith and bringing you under his power. Notice the warning that Peter gave us in 1 Peter 5. He says, "Be well balanced, be temperate, be sober of mind, be vigilant, be cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours," remember he's the prince of the power of the air, "that enemy of yours, the devil, he's roaming around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone, anyone to seize upon and devour." Then the word says, "Withstand him. Be firm in your faith. Be rooted, be established, be strong, be immovable, be determined, knowing that the same sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of believers throughout the world." My friend, the underworld is very active against God and against the people of God. He can and he must be resisted. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this? Be firm in your faith and you will win every single time. Now that, my friend, is something to shout about. But if you are not firm in your faith, he's going to get you. But if you are firm in your faith, you will win every single time. Thank you, God. Let me move on. Here's another point I want to expound upon. The manifestation of demonic entities. How do they manifest? When they influence hearts and minds, how do they manifest? How do they do their dirty work? Now, there is no doubt that we are seeing an explosion of demonic activity in these last days. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Demons have been unleashed upon America in order to deceive, seduce, addict, and destroy the souls of people. There are families right now who have been subjected to the onslaught of demonic attacks. Your neighborhood may be under the grip of demons. Well, there's no doubt the city of New Orleans is under it. Make no doubt about that. It is under it. It is with all the voodoo, all of the occultism. I mean, they just have a heyday because people open themselves up to that. They open themselves up. There are families subjected to the onslaught of attacks, neighborhoods that are under the grip of demons, cities that are under the grip of demons. People you work with may be under the bondage of a demon spirit. Your children may have been seduced by the demon spirit of sexual immorality, or maybe the controlling power of the demon of alcohol or the demon of drugs. There are many types of demonic influence and oppression. But I am here to tell you today that you don't have to be under the control or the power or the authority of any of that, because the word of God says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. If I stand in Jesus Christ, there's no devil big enough, there's no demon powerful enough to bring me down. If you will resist the work of the devil, you will win every single time. Hallelujah. Never lose sight of it. Never lose sight of it. But he manifests himself. How does he do it? There's many types of influence and oppression. One is a spirit of suicide. You know, as being a pastor for many years now, and working so many funerals and with so many funeral homes and doing funerals. And I remember a conversation I had with someone in the funeral industry. And they said the amount of suicides and drug deaths is so off the charts, we've never seen it like this, ever. And immediately I think, that's because we've reached a new level. The satanic warfare, or the satanic power and the spiritual warfare that is unfolding right now. How do they manifest themselves? Spirit of suicide. That's one. And it is a spirit. How many people all around us have thought or may be presently thinking suicidal thoughts? There could even be some in here today that may be having suicidal thoughts. How many have lost hope? How many feel that nobody cares? How many feel that there is no way out? But there is an answer to that dead feeling that people have on the inside, and that is the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Spirit of suicide. Then there is a spirit of murder. Why are husbands and wives killing their families? It's happening every day. Why do young men go into schools and kill their classmates? Why are there so many racially motivated acts of violence? It's because the devil is on the loose. Spirit of murder. Notice what Jesus said in John 8:44. He was talking to the religious crowd of Jews. And you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to kill him. Because he was making himself out to be God. So he tells them this in verse 44. He said, "You are of your father, the devil. And it is your will to practice the lust and gratify the desires which are characterized of your father." He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood. He speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar himself and the father of lies and of all that is false. That's why murder is a spirit. It's a spirit of murder. Now, the scripture says, Jesus says, that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. So my question is, who did he kill? You ever think about that? Who did he kill? Well, we go back to the book of Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, the book of first things, and we find the first recorded murder in the Bible. Cain killed his brother. He murdered him. Then we go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, and it says, Cain was of the wicked one. Are you still with me? Cain was of the wicked one. So there was a spirit of murder that was operating from the very beginning of time. The spirit of murder is operating on a level like has never been seen before in this hour that we are living in. That's why you got to stay in Christ. You got to stay connected to God. You got to stay in position with God at all times. Then they manifest through a spirit of sexual immorality. We can see this spirit at work today in same-sex lifestyles, in the pornography industry, in adulterous affairs, in instances of rape, in fornication, in prostitution. The Old Testament prophet Hosea called it harlotry because it characterized the Israelites and how they were living their lives. And he says this in Hosea 5:4. Their doings will not permit them to return to their God. Let that sink in. Their doings will not permit them. Do you know why? Because the demonic entity is now in total control. See, that's why I always say, you're not just fighting an addiction. You're fighting a demon. There's a spirit behind it. He said, their doings will not permit them to return to their God. For the spirit of harlotry is within them. And they know not the Lord. They do not recognize, appreciate, give heed to, or cherish the Lord. Now, notice again that the word right here says it's a spirit. Because he says, the spirit of harlotry is within them. We're talking about the manifestation of demonic entities. And that's why we got to stay strong in God and we got to be ready to lead people to Christ. Amen. Bring them to repentance. Bring them to faith in Christ. Then there's a spirit of deception. We just read the Bible says the devil is a liar. He deceives people away from the truth. He entangles them in false religion. He entangles them in false doctrine. And he does it because he disguises himself. Notice what Paul says here, 2 Corinthians 11. He says, and it is no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. He masquerades, so he's always wearing a mask. He's always hiding his true identity. Think of it. He's transformed. Has an angel of light. We're exposing demonic entities today. Oh boy, I got so much more I could share with you this morning on this issue. But my time is almost away from me, so I'm going to leave you with this. Because I want to leave you with a course of action. I want to leave you with a principle. Because I believe that there is a place of immunity in God. Now let that sink in for a moment. A place of immunity, a place of protection, a place of covering, a place of power, a place of anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You can hide yourself in God. You can hide yourself. Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In Him I will trust. Hallelujah. Now let me get this straight of what Psalms 91 is saying. Psalms 91 is declaring that God will protect those who choose to live a life in the presence of God. The very word dwells is in the present tense. So what does it mean to dwell? Well, the Hebrew word means to take up residence. Don't go take up residence with the devil. Don't go hanging out with people who are under the control of the devil, because the devil that is in them will want to get in you. Oh, my, I'm preaching today. Hallelujah. He says you must dwell. So what does it mean to dwell? You must take up residence. It means I will live in the presence of my God. Hallelujah. The very idea of this word, it means to sit down. It means to settle. It means to remain. It means to inhabit. It means to make God your very habitation. And when you will do that, you are walking under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you realize what that means? It's like having a bodyguard that is 10 foot tall and he's got you covered. But even greater than that, because we're talking about God. It says he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God is going to abide under the shadow. I believe King David understood something about that when he wrote Psalms 23. And he said, I'm going to dwell in the house of my God forever. And he said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. When you make God your habitation, there is something supernatural that he does for you. And Psalm 91:9, he says, because you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come nigh your house.